have a couple over here, a couple prayer requests. Pray for the family of Donnie Smith, who went to his heavenly home. And then I have an unspoken prayer request for a friend of mine in Texas, Jessica Harris. Let's pray for her.
Okay.
I've got one. And you got some over there, sister?
Okay. I just got one this morning. Ashlyn Franklin, the young lady that was electrocuted on the job a couple of weeks ago. They changed up her meds, so the pain and discomfort is controlled now, praise the Lord. But she did start running a fever again yesterday, and she is scheduled for surgery today at 1. I believe they're changing wound vacs again, and then they're going to do some skin grafts on the areas that are healed enough to do that.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's lift these people up to the Lord today. Dearly Father God, I am so glad that yet again, like I prayed earlier, man, we don't have to beg to be able to come before you. We can come before you at any moment's notice. And what is so even more beautiful, what the greatest privilege of all is that the God of all creation listens and hears us. God, we lift up the family of Donnie Smith. God, we know his past, the passing of him. And God, we know that that hurts. The sting of death is always real. It always hurts. But also the sting of death has been eradicated when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus. And Father, I pray that for Donnie. I hope that he knew you as his Lord and Savior. But God, I pray for his family that are going to feel the repercussions and the loneliness, the feelings of missing him and the process of mourning. God, I know mourning looks different for everybody. Father God, I pray that you would just continue to do what you do, what only you can do is minister to their hearts and their souls. God, we know that your word promises that you draw very near and close to the brokenhearted. God, would you just make your presence known amongst this family? May they be able to feel your presence and know, man, the only way that I can able to handle this and process this and make it through the day is because the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my salvation that is carrying me through this season when I should be heartbroken and folded over and just want to give up on life. But man, my God lives and man, he has been with me every step of the way. Would you just make your presence known in the midst of the controversy or the difficulty in this hard time? God, I pray that they would, if they don't know you, they would seek you out, that they would put their trust in you through this time. And God, we pray for Jessica Harris. God, it's an unspoken prayer request that's unknown to us, but here's the beautiful part. It's not unknown to you. You know exactly what needs to be done. And you are such a good God. We are going to put it in your hands, the only hands that it should ever be in. Oftentimes, we like to put things in our own hands. We like to be our own gods. We like to try to do our own things. And what I have found out, speaking from experience, is that I don't make a good God, as I make things 10 times worse than where they were at the beginning. And so we trust you with it. We pray whatever the request is, whatever needs to be done, Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name, and knowing that your ability to know all things, God, you're sovereign in all of those ways. So God, may her request be made known to you, God, and may you just hear her in whatever that capacity, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, God. And Lord, today I'm just hearing for the first time about the story of Ashlyn Franklin. God, oh man, my heart breaks, and just I hate to hear that about anything. But praise you, God, for saving her and sparing her life. God, that could have ended so differently. And God, we praise you that, God, that there has been medication to help control the pain and the discomfort that I can't even relate to, God. Thank you for providing medical doctors and situations that help heal the physical. But God, we also know that you are the greater physician, that God, we pray over her going on in the going forward. And God, we know that she started running a fever, God, and that's probably due from an infection or some other stuff somewhere else going on. Oh God, would you just reach down from heaven and just heal her body? Would you just allow that fever to stop? Would you just heal her in the mighty name of Jesus? Because God, there is no other name that can fully and truly heal unlike you. God, we pray for her. We pray for her just a physical healing, God, that she would step out of this feeling better, feeling good, and God, that she would have a story from this. God, if she doesn't know you as Lord, God, that she would see how you have provided for her through this time. And God, you do not waste our pain. There's nothing that we can go through and just throw up our hands and go, well, that was a whole bunch of nothing. God, you can turn our mess into your story, into a greater blessing. God, I pray that Ashlyn would just find the hope that is in within her own story. I know that's hard on this side of heaven, of going, why in the world did I have to experience that? What did I have to go through that? And honestly, I can't answer that. I just have to trust you and know that you're in control of all things. We can only see in the here and now, and you have the grand scheme of all eternity. So we need to trust you for when we can't see why and understand how. I pray for Ashlyn. I pray for her healing, God. May she lean on you in this moment. May she find faith in you if she doesn't have that any already. I pray you'd put people in her life that would speak the gospel over her, that would plant the seed of the gospel, and that it would bloom. And God, if she already has faith in you, she already knows you as her Lord and Savior, then God, may she know that you're not going to waste her pain. She has a story in this that can help point people to Jesus. It's not for nothing. We love you. We pray and we ask all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heart to Heart, Help, Hope, and Healing, Western Oklahoma. Give Forgiven and Set Free, a 4-week compassionate and confidential Bible study designed to help guide suffering and hurting women through the emotional scars of past abortion experiences. This study helps women deal with issues such as relief, denial, depression, anger, letting go, forgiveness, acceptance. Mondays only from April 3rd through April 24th from 6 to 7. For more information, you can or to enroll, you can call 580-243-2229, Monday through Thursday, noon to 6.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
We have a prayer request to come on in the comments. Lisa Taylor asked for us to pray for Ella. She's having a bad migraine.
Ella?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep, let's do that right now. Holy Father God, we just come back to you. God, we approach you. We just want to lift up Ella to you right now. God, we just receive word. How terrible migraines are. And God, whatever it might be going on, whatever else may be happening underneath, God, we know that you are God that provides healing. And so, God, we just pray for Ella right now. God, would you just touch her with your holy hand? God, would you just alleviate the pain that a migraine causes? God, a migraine can knock you out for a day or a few days. God, sensitive to light and everything else. God, you just don't feel good and you just don't want to move or do anything. But God, we humbly come before you and we just pray and ask in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God, would you just heal Ella? Would you just relieve this migraine and this tension, God? Would you just remove that from her, God? We know, we trust in you. We know that you are the God that heals and does all things, that nothing is too much for you, especially as something like a migraine. But God, is something that's limiting and as hurtful as it is to our human bodies, God, it doesn't even compare to you. So God, would you just please heal and help Ella through this day? So God, we pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
Bart Ice of Ford and Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily.
all new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Chase Morrow. His title for today is Messages from the Prophets. Back to you, young man.
Okay. All right. Well, where we just left off, we've been on this journey with the prophet Jeremiah, and we've looked at the 3 different messages. And so, like I said earlier, this we can just look at Jeremiah instead of all the other 50 prophets that were mentioned in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah, we can look at him, and he is like our representative example of the general ministry of prophets overall. Right? We've looked at the 3 different messages that all the prophets. When they were sent, these were some of the most common messages that they would deliver. And so that first one was, like we looked at, where God was sending his prophet to tell them he is frustrated and disappointed in them because they've turned away from him. They don't trust in him. They've abandoned him, to turn back to him. The second one was about how that judgment is going to come. Hey, you did not repent. You did not turn back to me. And so, rightfully so, evil must be punished, and judgment is going to come in. And so, we had the first one of repent, turn back, judgment is going to come. And then the third one, we see this, hope is also coming. God always is about in the business of restoration and redemption. So, how does this message of hope that he gave at Jeremiah 31, how does this connect to the gospel? Let's always look for echoes of the gospel in Jesus. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10. And while I read this, if you're still tuned in, I want you to listen for a similarity between the patience God showed Israel and Judah and the patience that he shows the world today. Because remember, I told you that when the people were like, man, what did we do to deserve this? And it was kind of ironic that God was very clear with them of what they had to do, but God was also incredibly patient with them by waiting for hundreds of years to send judgment, giving them 100 years to heed the warning of the prophets that God's frustrated and angry and they need to turn back and repent and turn back to God for hundreds of years before judgment comes. And they never did. And so, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So what's the similarity? How did we see God working in us today that he did, like he worked with Israel? And I believe the key to understanding is understanding God's patience. God has spent hundreds of years providing prophets for them to heed the warning that judgment is coming, that they need to repent and turn back to him, right? He wanted them to turn back to him. He wanted them to. He was patient with them. And God is doing the same thing today. God is patient with us. God is patiently waiting his return because he's waiting to return so that more people can come to a saving faith in him. God is going to return. Not even God the Son or the Holy Spirit or the angels know when the day of the Lord is, but only God the Father himself. When God the Father tells God the Son, it's time to go back on the final day, that is when it'll all be over, the final, the end, all of that. And so God is awaiting his return because he wants as many people to turn to him as possible. And so today we see the world falling apart all around us. It is not hard to turn on the news and watch for 5 seconds. And the first story is how we had 3 homicides going on or a murder or anything. There is so much disruptive and sinfulness, and it's just natural result of sinfulness in all of our lives. And so people may ask, where is God? What is he waiting on? Why isn't he returned? And Peter gives us a reason here, doesn't he? I mean, let's look back in there. It's really not hard. He's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you. So God does not count slowness. God himself is not contained by time itself. Time obeys God. God is not God if he has to fit and work within the confinement of time. God is the one that spun the clock and got it going in the first place. And so he does not work on a time schedule, but rather God is not slow the way that we count slowness. I am the worst at having patience, depending on what it is. Seriously, when we go out to eat, me and my wife, we like to go eat at Chili's or Olive Garden or something like that when we finally go to the city. But I will send her in. If the parking lot looks incredibly packed and we see like a huddle of people up by the door, she knows the routine. I'll go up and park and I'll drop her off while I go and look for a parking spot just in case we eat there. And the rule is like, man, if we go in there, hey, how long is the wait? If it's anything over 20 minutes, forget it. I go on. I legitimately do. I don't have the patience to wait. And I know, shame on me. It's nothing that big. It's just for me, it's food. It's not that big of a deal. I can go on. We can eat elsewhere, right? And so God does not work. He is not slow on his timing. He is not just like, hey, you know, I'm doing something. I'm busy. But no, he is not slow on his timing. He's patient with you. He is not slow. He is patient. And so he is waiting. The reason why he is the world falling apart, and we're like, God, why are you waiting? Wait, it's a hold up. What's going on? Is because he is patient. He is loving. And he wants as many people as possible to come to him, to know him for salvation, to know him for the forgiveness of their sin. But here's the thing. As we are reading the words of Jeremiah, we see both sides of the coin. We see judgment in the words, but we also see hope in the words. And so when we read 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10, where do we also see both judgment and the hopes of the words that Peter shares? We know this, there will be redemption and salvation, and it's provided by Jesus and faith in Jesus alone. God is waiting so more people would have the chance to come to him, to have a saving faith in Jesus. So there is hope in that. There is love in that, and there's grace in that, knowing that, man, we can be spared the wrath of God, the judgment of God. We can have forgiveness of our sin. We can have eternal life when I put my faith and trust in Jesus because, man, God is being patient with me. You're telling me God has been waiting a return because he's waiting on me to have a response to him? Man, it's because he is patient and waiting for me because he loves me. Man, there's love and grace in that. But I want you to hear the other side. There is also judgment coming. This is not a scare tactic. This is reality. This is scriptural. What good is medicine if you water it down? It loses its healing property. And so, by golly, I'm not going to get on this show and water it down and show you flowery things and just say, hey, accept Jesus because all things will be good and then you can live however you want. I'm not going to do that for you. There is a final judgment that's going to come. And scripture even says that it'll be like a thief in the night. It'll be here, it'll come and go, it'll be fast. And there is a final judgment that's coming, and it's the final one. And like the Israelites, God will allow those who turned away from him or who never chose to turn to him in the first place face judgment. Because God is just and holy and righteous, and he must punish evil. And judgment will come for those who ultimately turn away from God or don't turn to him in the first place. But the thing is, this time it will be final. And that's real. If you want fake phony, listen to some phony YouTubers or Instagram wannabe preachers. They'll give you enough watery, flowery stuff. But if you want the real scripture, if you want the real truth of God, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's also a judgment that's coming for those that turn away from him. God was incredibly patient with the Israelites, allowing them time and time again, patient with them, showing them love and wanting them to turn back to him, but they never do. And so judgment comes. Same thing today. God is patient with you, not wanting you to face the judgment of God. He wants you to be spared. And yet he even provided a way by making a new covenant with you by sending his one and only son, Jesus, who lived the sinless and perfect life that you and I will never be able to do. Jesus willingly died on the cross for you because the wages of our sin, the rightful payment of our sinfulness, is a death. But that someone has to be perfect. And so Jesus is the reason why he died on the cross for you and for me. And he rose from the grave. If Jesus is not alive, if Jesus is not resurrected from the grave, great. This is all a waste of time. Boo-hoo. Great. I wasted my whole career worshiping God, following God, if it all meant nothing. But let's say you're wrong and God is real and you never make a decision to follow the Lord and repent of your sin. Now we have all eternity to spend separated in hell. There's a lot more on the line if God is real than there is on the line than if I've just wasted my career choice. And I'm not going to sit here idly by and just not heed the warning of, man, repent, turn to God. Man, there is hope and joy and restoration and salvation in Jesus. Don't live for yourself. Don't be like the Israelites at the very, very beginning of Jeremiah 2, where he says, why have you turned away from me? Man, you have turned away from me, the source of living water who restores your soul, and you have dug for yourself cisterns, the places that store up water. He is the living water. Like, living water would be waters of streams of water that were moving, right? It's like they're living, where they'd find source of life and drinking water and supply, all this stuff. And he says, but you've done cisterns where it was just leftover rain, where often, like, mosquitoes and stuff, like nasty water. He says, you've dug yourself a cistern to drink from, to sustain yourself from. And it's not even a working cistern. It's a broken cistern. You can read that in Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 13. He says, you haven't even dug yourself a good cistern. It's broken, and so it doesn't even hold water right. And so it's just the collecting of mud and gunk and nastiness at the bottom. But that's your God. You're turned to that. You're turning to things that will never satisfy, like the living water. You've gone to broken things. You've turned to broken false gods and broken idols. You've relied on yourself, and you cannot save yourself. Rely on me, the living water. And so here's where I'm going to land the plane today. Man, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're listening, you're in this room, you're listening to this at a later point, man, we should be motivated by God's great love and patience. We should be compelled to go out and share the gospel with others and hope that they come to faith in Jesus Christ. We are sitting, oftentimes, followers of Jesus, we are sitting on the cure to cancer, and we're not willing to share it. The only thing is that sin is way worse than cancer. And I know that's hurt to say, because my family has been riddled with cancer. But there's a bigger problem than that, and it's our sinfulness, because eternity weighs in the balance. And how dare I, if my life has truly been radically changed and saved by the grace of God, then why would I not want to share that with somebody? That is incredibly selfish on my part. And so in our own ways, Christians, we are like the prophets that have a message to share that with people of, man, repent. Repent of our sin. Turn to God. Don't rely on yourself. It's a broken cistern. You can't fix yourself. Turn and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, who lived for you, who died for you, paid the wages, the penalty of your sin with his own blood, and lives today and is resurrected. And we're just going to celebrate that this Sunday. Man, put your faith and trust in Jesus. Repent. Do that. That should compel you to want to live your life for Jesus. Not just, well, I'm just going to live my life in a way that people can obviously just tell I'm Christian and never verbally communicate it. No, communicate it. verbally talk and share Jesus. I have never once, and I've been a Christian for 20 years this past May, this upcoming May, there's never been a moment where I'm like, wow, that person is so Christian. Wow, look at how they speak and act. And wow, I think, man, Lord, man, would you please come into my life and save me? I've never seen somebody live a life so vividly that it made me like, man, drop right there and save. Not saying it's impossible and not probable, because our life should match what we proclaim, but we also need to be verbally communicating the message of Jesus Christ. That's actually said in Scripture that we must. How will they know if we don't open up and speak? We must be compelled to tell people about this. God has been patient for them. God is waiting for them. But there's going to come a day where it's going to be too late. And it's going to be on our hands. And I don't want that. I want to communicate the message of the gospel with that. And if you're tuning in and you're like, man, I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus, there is not a moment where I can reflect back and remember I fully surrender my life to the Lord of having a communication. If you can't remember that one spot of, man, it was 1998 where I bowed my head and I recognized I was a sinner bound for hell, and I understood Jesus died on the cross for me and he rose from the grave. Man, I believe that. Lord, I believe that Jesus is your one and only son. He died on the cross for me. Would you please come into my life and save me and change me? Man, I give you my life. If you cannot remember that time and all it is like, man, I don't know. You know, when I was younger, I went to church. Great, great. It doesn't matter if you go to church. There are lost people in church every day when we go. We have a Sunday or more. In fact, we'll probably have a few on Sunday. I pray and hope to God that there are people that don't know them in our churches on Sunday. But there are a lot of people that just check in and check out because that's their religious checkbox. Hey, I went to Easter, boom. Hey, I went to Christmas, boom. And they miss out on Jesus. Man, if that's you, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, would you see that, man, God is so much better. We don't make good gods. When we try to turn to ourselves and live life our way, man, it's like that broken cistern. It cannot even hold water and sustain us. It's just the gunk and the messiness of our sinfulness. And God is the source of living water. Would you see the value of seeing that, man, God is better than your circumstances? God is more powerful than your addiction. God is more powerful than whatever message that you think is better. God can heal, restore, save, resurrect all things. Put your faith and trust in him this today. Get plugged into a church this Sunday and stay plugged into a church somewhere. But put your faith and trust in Jesus alone. Can I pray us out? Or I'll turn it back over to you. I don't know how to end other than just praying in that moment. Okay. All right, let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I know even myself I'm guilty of, as a follower of Jesus, that I keep the greatest message contained sometimes. And as Christians, sometimes we don't often share the message of Jesus because we make excuses. Say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do that. I don't feel bold enough. What if I share the gospel and they don't respond? What if I'm not successful in it? God, the only way that we fail in sharing the gospel is when we don't. I pray that we would have such a burden for the lost. We can't help but share Jesus, because if our lives has truly been changed and radically transformed by the power of the gospel, then we shouldn't be able to shut up about it. And God, that's even a call on my life. We are not going to stand before the judgment throne at the end of this and hear you say, well done, my good and successful servants. We are going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servants. May we be faithful to sharing the gospel with others, because you have been patient with them. Patiently waiting for all people to have a chance to turn to you for salvation. And I pray that we have some that make that decision today. It's not that hard. All it is recognizing we're sinners in need of a Savior. And there's no other Savior but Jesus Christ. And it's a simple prayer of, God, I believe that you died, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, who died for me, who rose from the grave. Would you please come into my life and save me? God, may you receive all the glory and praise of whatever comes out of this today. Pray that decisions would be made, that salvations would be made, that dead people would come to life today because of your resurrection power. I pray for the Christians that may be hearing this, that may be feeling convicted and going, you know what, I haven't been sharing my faith. I just let my pastor do that. God, we are called to be missionaries ourselves. We are called to live on mission to share the message of Jesus, and may we do that boldly. We are messengers just like those prophets. We are delivery people. We are the messengers. We are the mail people. We're responsible for is delivering the mail. We're not responsible for them to open it or not. We just got to be faithful to share the message, and may we do that this week. We pray for all Resurrection Day services that are going to happen this Sunday. May life transformation happen, because lost people enter the doors of the church. Transformation happens because they hear about the hope, the message that we have in Jesus, that we even read about in Jeremiah 31, that a new covenant has been made where all sins and iniquities will be forgiven. And that's only because of Jesus. So, Lord, we love you. We glorify you in all ways. We praise you. We just acknowledge you in all our ways, because, God, apart from you, we are nothing. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our sweet brother in Christ, youth pastor Jace Morrow. Before we end, I'm so sorry I forgot to have you share about your church.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about our church. We talked about Easter.
I'm sorry.
Hey, yeah. So I'm the full-time youth pastor at First Baptist Church, Cheyenne, in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Man, it would be an absolute honor if you would be my guest this Sunday at our Easter service, our Resurrection Day, over at First Baptist Church, Cheyenne. It's not that hard to find. It's right there on 608 East Broadway Avenue. We do breakfast every single morning, or every single Sunday. And if you want free breakfast from 9 to 9:45, man, please come in. Let us feed you. And then we have Sunday school classes literally for every single age, from infant itty-bitty babies to the oldest of olds, right? And so we have a class and a place for you. You have a place there where you're not invisible, and you don't have and you feel excluded. Man, everybody has a purpose for being there. It would be an honor to have you there as my guest. If you just want to bring you, yourself, your family, your friends to just our morning worship service, man, we start at 10:50 in the sanctuary. Please just show up and be there. Man, you would be my guest, and it would be a privilege and an honor to have you there worshiping with us. So if you don't have a home church around Cheyenne, and you're not plugged in anywhere, by all means, please come join in with us this Sunday. It's going to be an amazing time together.
Can't beat that.
No.
Get physical food and spiritual food at the same place.
That's it.
Come on now.
You get fed and blessed.
Get fed. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app, where you'll find The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.